memorizing it, and that you'll be able to say the entire psalm before we finish our series of studies together. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we pray together. Father, we come this morning again with thanksgiving to you for David. We thank you for his insight into your person, for the appreciation that he had of who you were and what you did for him. It is from his heart that overflowed with the many blessings that he enjoyed that we can read this psalm, that we can enjoy it and participate in ourselves. We find so often that we lack the words to give the full sense of our heart's devotion. We can turn to your word and to these psalms specifically and find that they express our heart. They tell our emotion. They express the tears that we might weep if we would. We thank you for this portion of your word, and we ask your blessing upon it. And as we consider it this morning, we ask that our hearts might be drawn to the good shepherd who gave himself for the flock. We offer you our worship and our adoration and our praise in his lovely and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's one word that sums up the greatest problem facing man, and that is the word fear. We live in a world that is filled with fear. The mind is tired because of the fears that we have. The body is nervous with fear. We have difficulty resting and relaxing. The spirit is anxious because of fear. Fear is the greatest source of defeat in the Christian life. There is no greater source of defeat in the Christian life than fear. Fear brings with it its weariness in body, weariness in soul, and weariness in spirit. We live in a world of extreme weariness. And if we could overcome the problem of fear in our life, it would transform our relationship with each other, our relationship in society, and above all, our relationship with the Lord. There are dozens of demands that come to us every day, from every quarter. They crisscross our lives, and those demands give us an attitude of fear that we hardly know what to do in dealing with it. And so we go to the doctor, and the doctor prescribes millions of dollars of pills to relax us, those of us who are filled with fear, and stir up those of us who are so sedated by fear. Millions of dollars are spent because man is overwrought with fears. Man takes a pill so he can go to bed and rest. In the morning he gets up and he takes another one so he can go to work. And the fears surround him on every side. And he seeks some solution to the problem of fear. And he can find none. The shepherd provides rest for his sheep. I put over the first phrase of verse 2 the word rest or relaxation. For the sheep and for the Christian, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now that is rest. That is relaxation. You know, it's so hard for us to lie down. I mean, I'm not talking about just horizontally and physically. I'm talking about lying down in our spirit, lying down in our soul. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And the word lie down doesn't mean that he's been nailed down on either side and bolted down and a heavy weight put over him. That's not what he's talking about. You can't do that with sheep. You can't do that with people either. Green pastures suggest that there is provision, which makes it a delight to lie down. He maketh me suggests that there is loving care. But the word lie down suggests rest. It suggests relaxation. It suggests a cessation of fears of many, many kinds. We're living in like a revolving door. And it's like a elderly person trying to make it through that difficult revolving door. And along come two or three children, all in the same section, and they're pulling with all their might, and they drive the elderly person through the door. Life is like that. Someone wrote an article a number of years ago, "Stop the world! I want to get off." Do you want to get off? Sure you do. You wish there weren't so many things to do and so little time to do them in. And we're filled with weariness. And we're filled with fear. Our text points back to the good and the great and the chief shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We could read through the rest of the psalm and we would find that every want that the sheep has is provided through the instrumentality of the shepherd, and only through him. And we're going to find that this morning. I shall not want for rest or for relaxation because the Lord is my shepherd. Now our text points back to the fact that the shepherd is the one that makes the sheep lie down. And it's not a forceful term. It's not a term that at the end of the day or at a certain period of the day, they take the sheep out and push them over, tuck their feet underneath them, and say, "Now you stay there." That's not the thought at all. When he says, "I shall not want," the sheep is suggesting that everything necessary to a rest and relaxing situation in the midst of green pastures is provided by the shepherd. That's the idea. It is a voluntary lying down of the sheep in the midst of green pastures. We can make sheep lie down. We can't make them stay. But these sheep stay. Let's draw the picture for a moment in the eastern country, where the sun is extremely hot, and where the land has been scorched by the sun. It's dry and it's parched, and the rocks as much as burn your feet if you were to tread on them. In such a place comes a whole flock of sheep covered with wool, which absorbs the sun, holds the heat. Woe be to the sheep who don't have a shepherd, who can, in that kind of circumstance, find some great rock and bring the sheep to shelter underneath the shadow of that rock. Or to come, perhaps, amongst a great number of trees, which are so scarce in that land, and bring those sheep into a luxuriant pasture where those sheep can lie down. He must find that dark shade. He must find that comfortable place, which is a few degrees cooler than the unbearable hot sun. And if he does find that lovely place, will the sheep lie down? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Philip Keller, shepherd and author, tells us how difficult it is to get sheep to lie down. And he tells us that there are four reasons why sheep will not lie down. And we want to address ourselves to those this morning because he, being a shepherd, knows far more about it than I do. But I can tell you very clearly that every lesson that he gives us can parallel the life of the Christian. The comparison of the Christian and the sheep is so exact that the same problems which caused the sheep to stand up will also cause you and I to stand up. That which wearies the sheep wearies the Christian. The four things that keep sheep from lying down are these. The first is fear. The second is friction. The third is flies. And the fourth is a famine. Now those four ingredients cause the sheep to be nervous, to be restless, and to be on their feet all the time. Now, we need to consider that. We all need rest, and it's extremely important. And most of us are careful that we get the proper physical rest. But what about the spiritual rest? What about the rest for the soul, which is so much more difficult to get? And that is the ingredient. And these four primary reasons why the sheep will not lie down are the same primary reasons why you and I do not get spiritual rest. Why we will not enjoy the spiritual rest that God provides. The Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, the same thing that robs the sheep of their rest is what robs you and I. Fear, friction, flies, and famine. And if the sheep are going to lie down, the pastoral shepherd must provide the necessary circumstances to provide, first of all, freedom from fear. The medical dictionary lists over 300 phobias. You've got some, and so do I. We're afraid of heights. We're afraid of depth. We're afraid of speed. We're afraid of dogs. We're afraid of snakes. Somewhere along the line, if we were to go through all of the list, we would find something that you're afraid of. Well, unless you are above the rest of us. Somewhere back in our life, we are afraid of something. And the same thing is true of sheep. You know, sheep have very few friends. Sheep have very few friends. In fact, probably the only friend they've really got is a shepherd. If we come right down to it, the only friend that a sheep has is a shepherd. All the rest, for the most part, are enemies. Many, many enemies the sheep has. A fearful sheep that is agitated, discontented, restless, disturbed. That sheep will never be physically well. That sheep will be weak. And that sheep will be tired. The same thing is true with Christians. We are agitated, restless, discontent, dissatisfied. We will be weak spiritually. We will be tired and we'll be sick. The same thing is true. So the shepherd must protect against all of these enemies. And until the sheep is totally aware of the fact that there is nothing to be afraid of, he will not lie down. The very land produces the noxious and poisonous weeds that are enemies to him. The wind that whips up in snow and rain can be an enemy to him. The water, which he wishes to drink at, might very well pull him into the torrent, and the buoyancy of his fur will carry him downstream, and that which he would like to drink can become his enemy as well. 200 sheep can be, just in a moment's time, by the bark or even the sight of a little dog, can be scattered all over in sheer terror. It's a dog. And the Bible says, without a dog. The wolf that stalks the little ones. The ones that are at the end of the outside and around the outskirts of the flock. The wolf is there with its fangs bared, and it wishes to devour the little lamb. And in a night's time, a dozen little lambs could be killed by one wolf. The growl and the roar of the lion is like a scream, a blood-curdling cry. The sheep are helpless. The mothers that are heavy with lambs can drop the lamb and abort simply out of fear. The awesome bear comes out of the mountain and with suffocating grip, with tearing fangs, can destroy dozens in a herd, in a flock, in one night. Can you see that all of those are enemies to the little flock who is following the shepherd? Even the food of the field sometimes can be poisonous, and the shepherd must go ahead and pull out the noxious and poisonous weeds so the sheep can enjoy the field without any hurt. Can you not see that that is all the responsibility of the shepherd? That he is the one who produces this freedom from fear? And if he doesn't, the sheep will never lie down till they die. I was on a farm just the other day, and I saw a most interesting experience. The man had, I think, 26 head of cattle, and we were followed by a little dog. And as the little dog came out toward the cattle, the cattle would run toward the dog. And the cattle, whenever that dog came near, the cattle would run that dog right off the pasture. Sheep won't do that. I could see a dozen of those cattle. They would watch this dog as it circled around, looking this way and looking that way. And the cattle would keep their eye on that dog. And when he got close, they would all run after him, and the dog would run. Sheep would never do that. Sheep are absolutely helpless. Someone has to remove the fear. Before the sheep will ever lie down, there must be freedom from fear. Do you know if that's true of sheep, it's also true of believers? You and I must somehow be rid of our fear. David understood what it meant. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verses 34, 35, and 36, he was there before Goliath on one hand and Saul on the other. And he told Saul, he said, "My father, I was the keeper of my father's sheep, and one day there came a lion and a bear, and devoured and laid hold upon one of the lambs, and he said, I caught it and I delivered the lamb out of his mouth, and he came to strike me. I took him by the beard and I killed him." David knew what he was talking about. If there's not going to be fear in the sheep, in the flock, somehow we've got to destroy and deliver from fear. What do you fear, little flock? Some of you fear death. You're not sure, perhaps, what death holds. Perhaps you fear sickness. Perhaps it's failure. Perhaps it's the future that lies ahead of you and you fear that. Perhaps it's disaster that might come to you, to your home, to your family. And so there is that deep-seated fear of the unknown, that something might happen to you. Perhaps it's the fear of not being accepted. We are just like sheep. It's so hard for us to just rest in ourselves and in our shepherd. Now, what is the picture of the New Testament? We draw the picture from the New Testament and we hear our shepherd coming to the disciples and saying, "Fear not, little flock." How many times did Christ come in the midst of the storm? He said, "Fear not." When he came to them after his resurrection, he said, "Fear not." It must be a part of our experience to have fear. If the shepherd is going to come to us and say, "Fear not." Now, there is that need to be aware that those things are part of our life. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, the apostle Paul was leaving Ephesus and he gathered the church around and he gathered the elders around and he said, "Be careful." He said, "There is a time when they're going to come into the flock, wolves who will devour the flock, not sparing the flock." And the true shepherd tells us, as shepherds of God's people, there are going to be those who are going to come in, they're going to devour and divide the flock. And we must be very, very careful. They will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we're told that we are to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The picture isn't pretty, is it? What is the antidote for such fear? What is the antidote for such fear for the shepherd, for the sheep who are afraid of all of these enemies? He hears the roar of the lion, the tramp of the bear, the howl of the coyote and the wolf. What is the antidote? There's only one. It's the presence of the shepherd. It's the presence of the shepherd. Fear not. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in every circumstance of life, to know the shepherd is there is a source of freedom from fear. And even though the howling wolves be on the outside of the flock, even though the roaring lion be out in his cave, and the bear be trampling around, the shepherd is there. And we are told by shepherds that if the shepherd is there, the sheep will gather around the shepherd, and they don't hardly hear the sound of the enemy. I must believe that he is near. If I do not believe that he is near, I'll be filled with fear. That's all. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, we which have believed do enter into rest. Do you remember when the nation of Israel was headed to the promised land? It was called a land of rest. It was called a land that flowed with milk and honey. But it was a place of rest, and that's what God said. I want to take you to a place of rest. What kept them from enjoying the rest? One simple word. Unbelief. Unbelief. They could have gone in, they could have possessed, they could have enjoyed, they could have prospered in the land of rest, but they would not believe God. And you know, we have the same fears. We have the same anxieties. We have the same kind of situation in our life simply because we do not believe the shepherd. All of chapter 3 and all of chapter 4 of Hebrews tells us that this rest is offered to the people of God and they would not enter in, and therefore it's made available to you and I. To know the shepherd is there. Who cares what happens if he is with me? Who cares where I have to walk? What difference does it make if I go to the valley of the shadow of death? Thou art with me. And if he is there, he will deliver me. David says, I delivered the flock out of the hand of the, out of the paw of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. And he says, this Philistine is no different. Can you not see that when he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, that it is going to be freedom from fear? I don't know what you fear. You may not know what I fear. I have some fears. Perfect love casts out fear. I talked to a Christian this last week who is dreadfully afraid of the devil. They blame the devil for everything. Every sickness that comes is of the devil. Every difficulty, every problem comes to them, comes of the devil. And they have more fear of the devil than they have faith in the shepherd. And there's no rest. There's no peace. There's no relaxation. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because the lion is a picture to us of the devil. There is a world which comes to us and it's our enemy. The lion, the bear, the wolf, and these are here waiting to devour us. But who is with us? Our shepherd. Thou art with us. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that the evil one toucheth me not. All of the fear that I have of the devil is because I do not have faith in my shepherd. If I had the faith in my shepherd that he is near, that he will devour, that I can resist the devil and he will flee from me, I wouldn't have all of that distrust and all of that discouragement. God brings us through the valley of the shadow. He doesn't bring us into the valley of the shadow of death. He brings us through the valley. We'll get to that in a few weeks. But there is that promise that he gives me freedom from fear. You have fear of the future? Of course you do. Because you're a sheep, and a sheep has very poor eyesight. You can't see farther than your nose. Sheep can hardly see just in front of them, but the shepherd has perfect eyesight. Why do I need to fear the future? If my shepherd who leads me and who guides me has perfect sight. He's the one who's leading me, and if I follow him, there's nothing to be afraid of. Secondly, there must be freedom from friction. With chickens, it's called the pecking order. In cattle, it's called the horning order. But in raising sheep, it's called the butting order. And there is a certain order in the flock. And if you've been around sheep at all, you'll find one sheep who is wanting to get his dandruff up, and he raises up on his back legs, and then he puts his head down and comes right at another little sheep. And they have a butting duel until the strongest one, of course, wins the place or wins the food or wins that piece of grass. And there is that order that exists in the animal kingdom. And it's the survival of the fittest. And there is fear in the sheep because of friction. I've got to protect this little piece of ground. I've got to protect the place that I am. I've got to stand up for my own rights. Don't they know who I am? And so I've got to have my horns polished and my ground well stood because somebody's going to come at me and I'm going to have to return the butt and make sure that they know who I am and what my position is. You know that that's true. Ezekiel gives it to us. In fact, Ezekiel gives us the picture so clearly that we need to just stop for a moment and read it. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophet Ezekiel knew what it was to raise sheep, evidently, because he says in verse 15, listen, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. And I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them with judgment. And then drop down to verse 20. Therefore, saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean, because ye have thrust with side and shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore, will I save my flock, and they shall be no more a prey, and I will judge between the cattle and cattle. Ezekiel knew, didn't he? Ezekiel says, you nation of Israel, you know what you've done? You've been butting one against the other, and you've driven people away. And he says, you're fighting and squabbling among yourselves. And he says, there can't be any rest, there can't be any relaxation until freedom of friction has been removed. And you can see the sheep wanting to lie down and enjoy the green pasture, but they can't. They have to protect their ground. And this is the condition. There's endless unrest, always trying to get ahead. Stay up with the Joneses, we call it. What's the solution? The solution to this problem of friction within the flock is to take my eyes off of each other and place them on the Lord Jesus Christ. My position with the shepherd, to realize that my relationship with the shepherd is the most important thing, that I'm no better than anybody else. I don't have to butt this person and butt that person in order to get ahead and arrive, pull down on the person above me and step on the person below me. The shepherd comes, and the shepherd says, you belong to me just as much as you belong to me. And we are all in him absolutely equal as far as the place of enjoyment and the place of blessing is concerned. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now I have to go around butting each other. No need for dissatisfaction and despair. You know, so many get hurt in the competition. Ezekiel says under the direction of God that he will judge between cattle and cattle and between sheep and sheep. If I were to look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and be taken up and occupy with him, occupy with my shepherd, thinking that I'm the only sheep and that's true, I demand all of his attention and he gives me all of his attention. There is no friction in that kind of situation. Whenever people gather around, whether it's in a business, a job, school, a home, or a family, we are people who are by nature children of friction in the same way that sheep are. It is he who declares my state. And as I read the word of God and am occupied with him, I realize that I am on equal ground with every other sheep. Freedom from friction. When I don't have to defend my ground, I can lie down in that green pasture. The third thing is the freedom from flies. It's impossible for sheep to lie down and rest if they're bothered with flies. And during the hot summer, the Arab country, they can be tormented by flies. You and I have gnats and mosquitoes. The sheep have flies. They're flies that gather around their nose. There are butt flies. There are warble flies. There are ticks. And there are many other kinds of bugs which continually harass the sheep. And they can't fly down. They've got to shake their head. They've got to stamp their feet. They've got to run around and fly and get away from these flies. And the kind shepherd, the gracious shepherd, must in some way provide some kind of solution to the problem of flies. And the shepherd does. You read it in this psalm. It says, He anointeth my head with oil. And it's a medicinal oil that is applied to the sheep on the head and around the eyes and carefully over the nose. Sometimes they would spray the sheep. When I was in Africa, we saw them dip the sheep. And the cattle and the sheep would jump off into a tremendous, deep, 11 feet deep, pond in which there was in there the necessary chemicals to deliver them from these flies. Then they could lie down. They were unaffected by the fly. You know, that's true of believers as well. You know, there's little things that irritate us. Little things like mosquitoes and gnats that irritate us physically, but there are things that irritate us spiritually. There are things about me that irritate you, and it's difficult for you to rest. Well, it's probably vice versa too, but not as much. And we know little idiosyncrasies about each other. We know little problems about them, and they irritate us. And in the family, in the church, and in the home, there are little things that irritate us. They're like flies, and we can't rest. We can't be ourselves. And the shepherd comes carefully, and what does he provide? He anointeth my head with oil. Can I not suggest to you that he gives to us the Holy Spirit? He provides that wonderful Holy Spirit which draws us together, which helps us to overlook even a multitude of sins because we love one another. And those little idiosyncrasies and eccentricities and all those little things that irritate us, they can go by the board. God made us different. And little things that irritate us, and the Spirit of God comes and He overflows us. He floods our being, and, you know, they really don't irritate us so much as they did before. And when that irritation is gone, then perhaps the sheep can lay down. If there is freedom from fear, if there is freedom from friction, and if there is freedom from flies, then perhaps the sheep can lie down. Oh, but there's one more freedom he has to have. And that is freedom from famishing or from famine. Green, luxuriant pastures. He must eat. He must partake. He must receive. A hungry sheep will not lie down. If the ground is like dust and the weeds are from one place to the other and there's no luxuriant grass, you know what the sheep will spend all of his time doing? He'll spend all of his time feeding. And I know Christians who are in just that state. They have turned aside from the beautiful, luxuriant pasture that the shepherd offers, and they're out here wandering around in the world, feeding on this and feeding on that. Spend far more time in the newspaper than they do in the Word of God. Far more time in the television than we do spending time with God's people. We wonder why we're not at rest. You come away from an hour of watching television, and you realize that there is anxiety, there is concern, you are wrought up. I can tell you, I watched a program the other night for the first time just to see what it was like. And I was awake at night trying to solve the problem. Just for an hour. I was just there an hour. And my night was without rest, virtually without rest. It kept coming back and my mind played it over and over and over. What happens if I soak my soul in that kind of garbage? No way can I rest. But the sheep, who belongs to the good shepherd, the sheep who feeds on this luxuriant pasture, what will he do? He will eat his fill, and then, because there is no fear from enemies, because there is no need for friction, because he's been freed for flies, and now famine is gone, he can lie down. And what does he do? He brings his supper up again, and he ruminates, and he meditates, and he turns it over and over and over. And it satisfies. A sheep who will not lie down will be a sick sheep. Because he will not be feeding on good pasture. He'll not be enjoying the freedom that the shepherd wants to provide. He will be there. But he'll be weak. He'll be sick. He'll be tired. The churches are filled with tired people. You know, the promised land is called a land that flows with milk and honey. And there's a reason for that. A land that flows with milk is a land that is luxuriant in pasture, because the cattle and the sheep and the goats can feed on his luxuriant pasture. And then the flow of milk is good. If the cattle are sick, and the pasture is sparse, and the ground is dry, there will be no flow of milk. The flow of milk is dependent upon the pasture. And the flow of honey is dependent upon the pasture. The beautiful flowers, the luxurious and beautiful plants which God allows to grow, produces the flow of honey. Can you not see that God has provided for us? Where is it then? May I suggest to you very simply, it doesn't take a theological education to see that these green pastures are the Word of God, a place to feed, a place to meditate on, a place to devour, a place to come back and meditate and say, isn't that good? Isn't our wonderful shepherd tremendous? Isn't he a loving shepherd? Hasn't he cared for me? And can't you see this morning that our good shepherd, our great shepherd, gives us freedom from fear? Perfect love casts out fear, and he's a loving shepherd. He gives us freedom from friction, because we are all one in Christ, and we stand equal in his presence. He gives us freedom from flies, because he has anointed my head with oil. He gives me freedom from famine, because he has given to me all things that I need for spiritual satisfaction. Can you rest in the Word of God? What does it take? It takes the simple word faith. We which have believed do enter into rest. If I believe the shepherd is there, he will, by his presence, deliver me from my fears. By his very provision, he will give me deliverance from the famine. By his gift of the Holy Spirit, he will deliver me from the irritations that are part of my life. And then, of course, by calling me his child and giving me my position in him, I have freedom from friction. And you believed in that shepherd and receive these freedoms so that you too can lie down and rest, which is so desperately needed in our society. We pray together. Father, we thank you again this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he is a good shepherd. We have so often tried to shepherd ourselves. We've tried to get rid of the flies. We've run around. We've run from this place to the other. We've got upset with that person and this person. And we've left them alone. We won't talk to them. We've had friction with some. We've butted this one and butted that one. We've had fear. We've been afraid to die. We've been afraid of failure. We've prayed perhaps that you wouldn't provide enough for us. Father, there are a few who are afraid that we won't be food. We ask your blessing this morning that we might again turn our eyes upon the good and great shepherd, to look wonderfully in his eyes, to be occupied with him, to feed upon his word, and know that he will then cause us to delightfully lie down in green pastures, and we can rejoice in his presence. Father, ask your blessing, especially upon those who are weary this morning, those who have problems of business, difficulties at home, fears and worries that take their toll on the mind and the body. We ask you to deliver them from these sins. They might turn their life over to